So this morning we are talking about dad goals. For a minute there it became dad goals, but we got it back to dad. Isn't that okay? So it's dad goals this morning. And we're thinking about our dads and we're remembering our dads and we're grateful for our dads. And we just love them because as we seen at the very beginning of the video, sometimes our dads can be very funny. I've become a dad, so I've become extremely funny. My girls don't think so. They just think, okay, not cool. And I've quickly realized, even though Jessica's only 7 and I'm not even 37, I'm only 36, looking great for it. But I've quickly realized that I've become uncool, completely uncool. So if you're older than that, you're more uncool. But I am trying to stay cool, but she's reminding me, not cool at all. So what's your goals this morning? We had a bit of fun earlier on, and we're going to talk about it in just a moment. There was some reason to what we're doing other than just fun this morning with our penalty kick, and I'm going to use it later on for a bit of an analogy to help us understand better what we're talking about. But what are your goals this morning? I think it's important to have goals. I think it's really important to have just something in the future that you're looking forward to. Maybe your goal is, I'm going on holiday this year. I'm going to get a tan. Or I met somebody this week and said, I'm going to learn to play guitar. That was one of my funny goals from years ago. Let me tell you about it. Years ago, I thought to myself, I'm going to learn to play guitar. I'm going to play guitar. You know what? I want it. I want to get the girls. I want to play good. I want to be like Enrique Iglesias. I want to play Hero. Do you remember that song, Hero? I can be your hero. That was about as far as I got. It didn't work good. I got a girl in the end, so it was all good that way. But here's what I realized. How do you find your goals? It's the things that you're passionate about, number one, and number two, the things that you really want. And I was passionate about music, and I really wanted to play guitar. But what I realized in between the extra ingredient that you need for your goals is that you have to stick at it day after day after day. And the thing that disillusioned me was Aaron at 13, and he could just play everything, and I could play nothing. So I give up very quickly. He is multi-talented in guitar. I am not. But that should not be a reason to quit, but it was for me. And I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this on silly guitar. I'm just going to give it up. But God says this morning, I want you to have goals that you pursue, but don't be like me. Keep after them. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take determination, because you're probably going to fail many times over and over and over again. But what are your goals? Goals are important. Goals are good. Goals are what keep us focused on the tough days when we're like, I just want to give up. I just want to quit. What are the goals that God has put before you? Remember another goal that I had, and I said, you know what am I passionate about? What do I really want, Lord? And I remember saying, I really want you, Lord. I want to be passionate for you. And I started to dream about things. I started to have visions about things. And thankfully, this one, I stuck at it because God was in it and I really wanted it. And we ended up with Vibe. And we ended up where we are today. And that was because of a God dream, a God goal that he had put in my heart. And I said, I'm determined for this. I'm going to stick at this. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. And here's the thing. Here was the extra part to it. He was sustaining me. He was helping me. He was keeping me going. He was encouraging me, saying, don't quit, keep going. And what was I thinking of? I was thinking of people. I was thinking about you. I didn't know you yet, but I was thinking about people. Lord, help me to reach people. Help me to make a difference in people's lives. It's what he put in my heart. What's the other big goal of my heart? I love computers. I still love computers. I love to program. I love to do those things. God is calling you to your goals, and he wants you to pursue your goals. And so this morning, what are your goals? I want us to think of a few this morning. Maybe you're already starting to ponder some of your heart, but I want to encourage you to think about them. To think about your goals. So what are your goals? Here's what I've realized in my life, is that some of them are very selfish. Some of my goals were very selfish. I wanted a Ferrari. It never worked out. It was a selfish goal. And you know what it would have taken to get that goal? Every ounce of sweat and penny and then some, and probably rob a few banks and steal a bit of money. And all of that just to try and get this silly car that when I probably got it wouldn't have been as good as I thought, or at least that's what I'm telling myself. I'm sure it would have been amazing. But it was a silly goal. That was unachievable. That was something that I didn't really need. It was something that I didn't really want. And so I changed the knot. And some of your goals can be really funny. Maybe you're already starting to think of some of your goals and they're really funny this morning. I'm not even going to start into that because you're going to laugh too much at me. But some of my goals, many of my goals were very funny and very silly. But at the time, I thought I had to have them and I needed to do this thing. And it was really important. But looking back on it, I realized, oh, it was so silly. I'm so glad it didn't do that. So some of our goals are selfish. Some of them are funny. And here's the other one. Some of them are just way too big. Some of our goals are just way too big. Now, I want you to dream for the heavens. I want you to dream. But sometimes I realize that some of my dreams were way too big. You know what I dreamed? I dreamt that I was going to play for Arsenal, going to win the Champions League, and all of that was a joke from start to finish, if you know anything about that team. But if I had been there, maybe I would have made the difference. That was the dream. It didn't happen. Now, God put another dream in my heart with Vibe and with the church and with the things of God that he put inside of me. But what are the things that he's putting inside of you? That's what we need to seek after. That's what we need to hear. That's what we need to find out. Because when we find out those, then suddenly we're going to step into them. Suddenly we're going to go after them. So the footballer thing had to die, but something even greater rose up. What are the dreams? What are the goals that God has put into your heart? Dad goals are important. Life goals are important. Your goals are important. But I tell you what's also really important. It's really important to think about the types of goals that we're after, because otherwise they can become just selfish or just about something else. And so I started to think this morning about our dads and our fathers. And any good dad, guess what they do? They think about you. They think about their kids. And so I want to encourage you, when you're thinking about your goals, number one, make the first one be about others. Make the first one be about your family or your friends or somebody around you. And say, hey, what's my goal for them? That's a really important thing to think about. What is my goal for the people around me? To be a nicer person and less grumpy. That can be one of my goals. But what is your goal? What are the goals of your life to make a difference in the people's lives around you, so that you're not just all about you and it's not just putting up with you? That's really important. And then, of course, moving on and think about your goals. What's the goals of your life? And I think to myself, you know what's really important? Think about short-term goals and then think about long-term goals. Think about things that you're after today and after tomorrow. And of course, the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Worry about today and live life as if it's your last. But I believe what God loves us to do is to strategize for the future. We're strategizing for the future. We've got big dreams for the future. But Lord, I live every day as it's my last. I give everything I've got. And if you come back, so be it. I'm away. But if you don't, then I'm strategizing for the future. And of course, what's really important as we strategize for the future is to have long-term goals. Because what do long-term goals do? They give us daily focus. They give us daily focus. And isn't it amazing? Whenever we have a goal in the future, maybe it's to go to university, maybe it's to open your own business, maybe it's to make a difference here or make a difference there, maybe it's just to find a girl. How about that? Maybe it's just to find a girlfriend. But when you have long-term goals, you know what it does? It gives you a focus every day. Gives you a focus every day. That's what it did for me. Give me a focus, because here's what I realized. When we get a determination and a focus on something, it's incredible what we can achieve. It's incredible what we can do for the Lord. But as we mentioned last week, we get distracted. We get consumed. We start getting distracted by this. We start to worry about that. And God says, have a long-term goal and aim for it, but live every day as it's your last. In other words, give your all to him. Give all that you can. Don't waste a single second. Maximize all of your time, because life is worth living. And then lastly, and we're going to think about this for a few moments this morning, for God. What's your goals for God? What are the goals that God has put in your life? Of course, we know if God never said anything else, what's the overriding theme of the Bible? Is that there's a Savior coming, and then the Savior comes, and then he defeats sin, and he defeats death, and he defeats sin for our lives. So therefore, if we accept Jesus into our lives, we become new creations in Christ. If we turn from our old ways, if we repent, if we turn away from our lives and we turn to God, what does he promise? I'll give you a brand new start. But it's not just to do your own thing, it's so that you could be part of the mission field. It's so that you could step into the world and you could be like Jesus and you could make a difference. And I want to encourage you, don't forget your ultimate goal in God. Your ultimate goal in God is to go and reach the lost. It is so exciting, it is scary, it is nervous, but there's nothing quite like it when we see someone that we got to be a part of the process, or even if we didn't, trust the Lord, because you're going to see their lives turned around, because salvation still works today. He is faithful, he is good, and if you're praying for a loved one and your goal is, I have got a son or I've got a daughter or I've got a family member that I'm praying for, keep praying and keep believing, because God is faithful, and that is a good goal to have. But what are the God goals that he has put into your life? I want you to think about them this morning. I want you to ponder them. I want you to think about them maybe over the next few days. Because what they do is, when we have goals, they create vision in our lives. And our vision gives us purpose. And then our purpose leads to our destiny. And God has destiny for each and every one of us. And he doesn't want us to live below the bar. He wants us to live above the bar, doing incredible things for ourselves, but for the kingdom of God. And watch how he's going to bless you. Watch how you're going to make a difference to the people around you. So there are selfish goals, silly goals, funny goals, and then there are God goals. And I want you to think of them and ponder them this morning. But here's where I want to get to. We're going to spend a few moments on it this morning. God has goals. Did you know that God has goals? He has goals. He has things that he desires. He has things that he wants. Let me remind you of just a few of them this morning. He loves family. Did you know that God absolutely loves family? And if he's our Heavenly Father, doesn't that make sense? Because any good dad should love family. He's the starter of the family. He's the head of the family. He's the one that holds the family. And God's exactly the same. Our Heavenly Father, you know what he loves? He loves restoration. I just love stories of restoration. Anybody love stories of restoration? When somebody wasn't doing so well, and then suddenly their life was radically turned around because of somebody's help or love, or God started to move in their life, and then you see a restoration story. There's something exciting about that. God loves restoration. He loves redemption. He loves to see people better than they were before. He loves you. You know what his goal for your life is? He wants you to know that you're loved. That's the number one goal in God's life, is that you would know that you're loved. And out of that, you know what he wants you to realize? You know what he wants you to know? That you're a son, that you're a daughter. Because if he's a father, then it means he has to have kids. You are his kids if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ this morning, then you are a new creation. And not just that, but you are a son and a daughter. And this morning, if you're a son or a daughter, then you have authority, you have power, you have love, you're just like him. And the goal of our lives should be to become more like Christ. And he enables us, and he transforms us, and he helps us. And as we do that, we bring transformation to the world. You are his son this morning, if you know Christ. You are his daughter this morning, if you know Christ. Here's what the truth is. He wants you, and you need him. He wants you, and you actually need him. Did you know that? You need him this morning. Because I'm sure you've heard it before, but we were lost. We were lost in our sins. We had no hope. We had no way out. So we needed him for transformation. We needed him for salvation. But after that, what do we need him for? We need him as a dad. We need him as a father to remind us that we have identity, that we have purpose. We needed him so that we would know that we are sons every day, every day. Do you remember Jesus at the start of his ministry? The Father spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus needed to know that over and over and over again. I believe this morning we need to know that over and over and over again. If you're a new Christian, a new creation, if you're in Christ, then you need to know over and over and over again that you're a son, that you're a daughter, that you have importance, that you have value, you have worth. Why do we need to know that this morning? Because life is out to destroy that. Life is out to rob us. People are jealous. People are envious. People don't like it when other people do well. Guess who loves it when you do well? The Father. Loves it. The Father loves it when you do well. He's right behind it. He is for you. He is not against you. And do you remember our kind of bit of a fun penalty shootout earlier on, blindfolded? Here's what I was trying to draw from it. I was trying to draw from it this, that most of us know where the goals are. Most of us know the goals that we want, whether we set them out loud or we whisper them, because it depends on the state of our heart. It depends how we feel. It depends how worthless we feel or worthy we feel. If we feel worthy and bold and ready for it, we're going to confess our goals and we're going to go after our goals. If we don't feel like that, then we maybe keep them on the inside. But here's the truth. All of us aren't just quite sure how to get our goals or how to get to our goals. And so did you remember earlier on when we blindfolded the guys, and it wasn't just for a bit of fun, although it was funny. It definitely was funny. But it was to demonstrate that life is not simple. If it was straightforward and we knew always where the goals were, then it would be easy. We wouldn't even need God. But this morning we need him. I said he wants you and you need him. It's absolutely true. Because life comes, it's got a funny way of blinding you. It's got a funny way of just blinding you. It's like that scarf over your eyes. You're not quite sure where to go. And then let's add more into the mix. What did I do with Tom? And what did I do when I got the guys up? I got them to spin them. Because what does life love to do? It loves to spin you and put you in a whirlwind. And then you're not even quite sure. And do you remember they were trying to kick and they couldn't even kick and they didn't even know where the ball was and they were doing air shots. And it was just luck of the draw if the ball went in. Because they weren't in control. They couldn't see. They had no hope. They didn't know what to do. But guess what a Heavenly Father does? A Heavenly Father comes and he orientates you. He orientates you. What does he do? He lifts off the mask. He lifts off the blindfold so that you can't see now. But here's what a great dad does. Here's what a great coach does. Here's what a great father does. Not only does he orientate you, not only does he take the blindfold off, but he lines it up perfectly. And then he coaches you right through and he says, "Son, kick it this way. No, step to the side a tiny bit. Move to the side a tiny bit and then give it a kick this way. He coaches you, encourages you, but he doesn't take the goal away from you because he knows we need the goal. And then he says, now kick, son. Now go for it. And when you score that goal, I don't know if you've ever scored a goal before, but I'm telling you this, it is amazing. And all you want to do is score another one and another one and another one. When you achieve the goals of your life, how do you feel? You don't usually become discouraged. You usually become excited, especially if they're the right kind of goals. Especially if they're God goals, especially if they're goals that you were like worked hard for and you had determination for and people came alongside you and then you accomplished it and you're like, wow, I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think it was going to happen. This is a good day. This is a good day. I had a bit of fun just the other day looking up our Instagram account. And there's this app that tells us what's the number one post that everybody has liked or everyone has interacted with or what's been the most popular one. Do you know what one of the most popular ones in the last 2 years was? I knew before I even looked what it was going to be. It was the day we put up the photo of our building next door with the keys and said, we got it. We got it. We achieved our goal. Because what did God tell us? He said, buy that building next door. I said, Lord, what are we going to do with it? He said, don't worry about it. Goal number one is buy it. I said, Lord, how are we going to afford it? He says, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep seeking me. What happened when we achieved the goal? Everything erupts. Everything explodes. We become ecstatic. We need those goals in our lives. And then suddenly we're like, wow, we did it. And then after that, you know, I said, Lord, what's next? What's next? Because goals build anticipation and expectation and excitement. But what happens? Life comes and it puts a mask over our face. It blindfolds us. It spins us in circles. It disorientates us. I even move the goals because that's what happens. Even the goals move at times. Even the things that once were here become there. Even the things that were simple this way and it was straightforward. And I always did it this way and suddenly it all changed. And what do we need? We need a Heavenly Father. We need a father-like figure in this life. We need a Heavenly Father in this life too. We need someone to come. We need him to come. We need him to transform our lives. And he removes the mask. He removes the distractions. He orientates us. He stands close beside us and he helps us to score it. He says, keep going, son. Keep going, daughter. And I want to encourage you this morning, keep going. Keep going. If you haven't started this morning because you're far from God, get started. He's right there. He's right there to receive you. If you're going, keep going. I know it's difficult. I know it's a challenge because life spins you, remember. It just keeps spinning you and it doesn't care. And it keeps going and it keeps going. And here's what I have discovered. There is an enemy. There is an enemy who despises you, that hates you. And here's what I've realized about him. He's pretty good at his job. He's very good at his job. In fact, when he gets you down like any good predator, he doesn't let you up. He keeps going and going and going. And I want to encourage you this morning that as much as he keeps going, the Lord is greater. The Lord is greater. I want to encourage you this morning. The Lord is greater because he comes and he attacks you and he attacks you. The enemy comes and he attacks you and he keeps going and he keeps going. And it feels like all he wants to do is kill you. That's exactly what he wants to do. That's exactly what he wants to do. But God wants to come to set you free. And not only make you free, but allow you to know that you're a son, that you're a daughter, that you are his. Can I encourage you with that this morning? I want to take a few more moments. I want to read some verses this morning. Here's Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We need a father because he changes everything. Let's read it together. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery. So we have got saved, we have known salvation, but here's what the Lord wants to remind us this morning of. We have not received the spirit of slavery. That's what we once were, to fall back into fear. We once were in fear, now we're in love because of a good dad. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. See, this verse is amazing, church. It's so good, and we've got to get to know this because here's the deal. Here's the thing that we must know. If we're not careful, salvation's just about a courtroom scene that says, I'm guilty, I'm a stinking sinner, and all I need is a savior. And if I could get a savior, that'd be me. But there's so much more to the story. He doesn't leave us in the courtroom. You know what he does? He says, come home. You're part of a new family. I'm not leaving you the way you once were. I'm not just going to set you free and let you go on the road again. I'm bringing you close because you're my son and you're my daughter. And I'm going to teach you new ways. I'm going to show you new ways. I'm giving you a new identity. I'm giving you a new purpose. I'm giving you a new life. I'm giving you a brand new start. And church, this morning, we need to know this because this is how good our God is. And how does he do it? The verse tells us, through the spirit of adoption. What does he do? He chooses us. He chooses us as foreigners, as slaves. He picks us, he chooses us, and he says, come, I'm adopting you into my family. And through his spirit, there's something incredible that takes place inside. And instead of just becoming servants, we become sons. How good is that? Instead of just saying, do you remember the prodigal son? He said, if I could just go back to my dad's house, what would I love? I would just love if he would just make me a servant. I'd be happy with forgiveness. I'd be happy to serve. And God says, no, 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 no. I'm not content with that. I want to get you past. I want to move you, continue to keep moving you forward. You're not just a servant. Oh, you'll love to serve because your dad's so good, but you're not a servant. That's not your identity. Your identity is a son. What did he do when he saw the son? He said, come on. He didn't even let him speak. He hugged him. He kissed him. He lavished his love upon him. He put the ring on his finger. He put the robe on him. He elevated him past the point of status that he should have had because he thought he was only good enough for a servant. And the father says, no, you are my son. You were dead, but now you're home. You were dead, but now you're back. That's a good dad. That's a wonderful Savior. That's a wonderful God. That's the God that we serve. Not just saving us from the courtroom scene that says, if you're guilty, you're going straight to prison. No, even better than that, adopted through his spirit into the kingdom of God so we become co-heirs with Christ. Let me just remind you of what he does there. We become free men, no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. This is who you are this morning. But here's the other thing. Not only are we free men and women, but suddenly we have an inheritance. Everything that the Father has becomes ours. Even though the Son had wasted his inheritance, guess what happened? When he came back to the Father, he got fresh inheritance again. He got fresh inheritance. Whatever was left became half of his again. The other half had to go to his brother. But whatever was left became his again. And everything the enemy has taken, what does the Lord promise us? He'll restore it. He'll restore it tenfold, 100-fold. Everything the enemy has taken, if not in this life, but in the next life, he will restore everything that the enemy has taken because he's such a good dad. He is such a wonderful Savior. He is such a wonderful Heavenly Father. All his riches. And then thirdly, after inheritance, he takes care of our past. This is what I love so much about the Lord. Not only does he set us free, not only does he give us an inheritance, but here's what he does. He sets us free from the past. He's interested in our wounds. He's interested in our hurts and pains. Did you know there are more hurt and broken people in church nearly than anywhere else, and they happen to be Christians? Did you know that? Because life is tough. Because life is difficult. And the people around you are likely to hurt you sometimes. That's what happens. That's what happens. And so it's so important that we know our Father, that we know our Heavenly Father. So when we're hurting, just like any earthly mom or dad would do, we welcome our son or daughter under our lap and we say, come on, son, it's going to be okay. Come on, daughter, it's going to be okay. I'm going to help you through. But they did this, but they did that. I know. They shouldn't have done that. That's what I have to do sometimes with Jessica and Bethany. I'm not good at it. Nikki's much better. I'm too soft. But sometimes you got to go, you can't do that. That's not good for your sister. That's not good for her. And you try to bring reconciliation, and sometimes it doesn't happen. It's like, go to your room, calm down, and then it happens later on. We need him. We need him. And we can't hide our wounds, and we can't forget that they're there, and we can't pretend that they're not there. What do? We bring them before him, and he binds up our wounds. He encourages us. He helps us. He gives us hope. He understands. He understands. Our Heavenly Father understands. Can I read one more verse this morning? Because I believe it's got so much truth and it's going to encourage us. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. It's the Lord's Prayer. Disciples come to Jesus. They say, Jesus, how are we so supposed to pray? How are we meant to pray when you go? And what are we meant to pray? And what are we meant to do? And so Jesus says, I'm going to give you a model prayer. Now, I know there's times when we pray this prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's important. But really, the heart of the prayer was it would be a framework. It would be a model to how we would pray in everyday life. And here's how it starts off. You already know it, but I'm going to read it just to remind you again. It says, this is how you should pray. This is what Jesus says to the disciples. Our Father in heaven. And I don't want us to go any further today than that first part. Our Father in heaven. Do you remember earlier on when we read Romans 8 that it had a term Abba? Abba, Father. It's this intimate Aramaic term for the Father. It would be the everyday language when Jesus lived on the earth, because the well-to-do posh people, they spoke Hebrew, but Jesus decided for some reason to use Aramaic. I believe this is why he did it, because he wanted everybody to know. Doesn't matter if you're the lowest of the low. Doesn't matter if you're the king on the hill. I want you to know I came for you, and you actually need me. So I want to be able to relate to everybody. Guess what the word that he uses here, our Father? If we were to directly translate it, guess what the word it is? Abba. It's Abba. He wants the disciples to know that anybody can pray to him, that everybody needs to pray to him, that you've got to know that he is your dad and that he can be your dad. And so I want to break it down just for a moment. He says, right, at the beginning, second word in, Father, I want you to know that I want intimacy with you. I don't want to be a distant, far off God. Every time you pray, remind yourself of that. You might have distant, far off dads. You may have distant, far off father, like figures or bosses or people in your life, but I do not want to be distant and far from you. I want to be a dad to you. And then what's the word before that? He says, I don't want to be any old dad. I want to be your dad. He's our Father. Our Father. He wants to be your dad this morning. So if you need him, he's there for you. If you need help this morning, he is there for you, because he is your Abba. He wants you to know that. He is your dad. Imagine that we get to pray to the God of the universe and we get to call him dad. Or if you're in a different part of the world, maybe it's Papa, maybe it's Daddy, whatever you're comfortable with. But the heart of it is this, is not to be disrespectful, anything but. It's to come close to him and know that he's your personal God, that he's your intimate Father, that he is your Father. But here's what he does at the very end. He says then, in heaven. What does he do? He reminds us that yes, he comes close. Yes, he's our Daddy God, but he's also our King of Kings. He's our Lord. He's our Lord. He is worthy of all praise. He's not like our earthly dads where they mess up sometimes, or they're not there sometimes, or they let us down sometimes, or they go away sometimes, or sadly they pass on and go to heaven sometimes. No, he's our perfect dad. He's always there. He never fails us. He's always got a word for you. He's always encouraging you. He's always praying for you. He's always thinking about you. He is our perfect heavenly Father. And so today, or over the next few days when you go to pray, remember that. We should start every prayer with our Father in heaven. Remind yourself, he's my God. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's King over everything. He's got full supremacy. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at me, he is with me. And if he is with me, who can be against me? And if he's a big God, he also wants to remind you that he's the God that comes close beside, and he heals you, and he hears you, and he cares for you. This is what I love about our Heavenly Father. He's important, absolutely. He's the most important person there is in the whole universe, and yet he's got time for you, and he cares for you. Can I show you a lovely picture, and then we're going to be pretty much done. I'll say this. It's like one more bit. Let me show you this picture. Peter, will you throw up the picture? Famous person, President of the United States. Anybody remember that person? JFK. Sadly, he didn't live for very long, but he was President of the United States. Now, here's what I want you to take from the picture this morning. It's a picture of authority. It's a picture of probably the most important man in the world at that time. It's a place of power. You know, this is a place of decision. This is a place of authority, of power, of importance. But look what's ridiculous in this picture. Anybody spot it? There's his son underneath the desk. You know what I want you to realize this morning? I want you to realize this morning that his son knew who he was. He knew that his dad was big and powerful. He knew that only a few people could get to meet his dad. He knew that some people would try to get appointments with his dad but wouldn't be allowed in. But he knew as his son, I can get to see him anytime I want. I can even go under his desk. Because even though he's the most important man in the world, I am his son, and that's important too. And I want you to know this morning that our God is the King of the universe, that he holds everything in the palm of his hand, that he is extraordinary, that he is incredible. There is nobody greater than him, but he also is your dad. You can also be his son. You can also be his daughter. And in that photo, what a picture of love. What a picture of authority. What a picture of grace. What a picture of a dad and a son. Do you know the Lord as son, as father today? Do you know that you are his son? If you're in Christ, you can be, you should be, he wants you to be. If you're outside of Christ, then he wants to invite you into the family. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to get you out of that courtroom scene. He wants to remind you that he has forgiven you. And if you accept him into your life, he will forgive you. And as you do that, through his spirit of adoption, he wants to adopt you into his family. Can we stand together? We're going to pray. I want to read one verse over your heart today. Psalm 68, verse 5. If you'd like to, let's close our eyes. I want to read it over your heart. Here's what the Lord says. Psalmist wrote, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." And I love this next part, because God doesn't forget that there are some fathers that are missed. There are some fathers that never were a father. He doesn't miss that there are some kids that didn't know their dads or wanted to know their dads. He doesn't miss that, or that would feel sad or feel lonely. This is what he says, verse 6. "But God sets the lonely in families." God sets the lonely in families. Those that are sad, those that have lost their dads, those that didn't know their dads, those that would love to see their dads again. He places the lonely, the sad, the broken in families. Guess what this is this morning? It's a family. What a picture of the church. What a picture of the church this morning, that God would place the lonely in families. I want to encourage you this morning, what are the goals of your life? I want to encourage you this morning that if you know the Lord and if you're a Christian, let this be a goal of your life, that you would love the people around you, that you would think about the people around you, that you would be there for the people around you, that would be one of the goals of your life, to be there for the people around you, because that's what Jesus would do. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, or you're far from him, then make it a goal this morning to get to know him, either right now or later on this week. But don't leave it too long, because as we've seen earlier, what does life love to do? Blind you so you can't see and put you in a tailspin that you can't get out of. And unless somebody comes alongside you to help you, it's so hard. It's so hard to see. It's so hard to get back into focus. So let's just pray for a moment.